Oh yeah, podcast experience closures. Welcome back to another episode of the podcast experience. Tonight we have Young Murmur. She's got an interesting story. Not only does music, but always has a grit of resilience. That's enough for me. I'm going to let Young Murmur introduce herself.
Hi, my name is Young Murmur. I'm a musician from Hall County, Georgia. And my goal is to just make people feel things so they hear my music. It's mostly my whole goal.
Awesome, Young Murmur. Thank you so much for taking time. The first question I have is, how did you get into the music, and what was that first experience like?
Well, I grew up when I was in middle school on mostly like emo and rock music, but as my music taste evolved, I got more into rap, and I was going through a really rough time, and so I decided to write my own rap about it, and I realized that I just had a good thing with it, and I stuck with it ever since.
Cool. What's your favorite part about the rap game? Anything in particular when you first made that transition?
I think my favorite thing is I don't really have a fan base because I'm really small, but the few people that do listen to my music, that's got to be my favorite thing. The people who are there to support me, I really appreciate them 100%.
Oh, definitely a support system in the music game. Got to make sure you get build those strong ties with the early ones to get to the bigger ones. Tell me a little bit about the dark time you went through and what it was like and how you overcame it.
Well, I did something wrong. I decided to experience with drugs, and I learned quick that that was a bad mistake. And for anyone who listens to this, I definitely encourage you not to do drugs, especially if you are an upcoming musician, because that's not the path you want to go down. And I decided that once I needed to quit doing drugs, I needed to find something to do. So I thought maybe making music would be a better path than just writing in general, honestly.
No, that's very important that you mentioned that, right? Because that is the number one, not only the number one cause of, you know, people taking the wrong turn, especially at an early age, but that peer pressure. Was it peer pressure that really got you involved, or do you feel like it was just a personal choice gone wrong and you're trying to overcorrect it?
I think it was more of a personal choice than just that I was young and didn't really think rationally a lot. And yeah, that's pretty much it, just being young and wanting to do what everyone else is doing.
100%, of course. You know, you're just going to make decisions young, but at least you overcame that as you matured. How was your support system like during those times?
Well, my parents have always been there for me, so huge shout-out to them. I always have a few good friends around, and my grandparents have also been a huge influence on me, so that's basically my support system. And even though my friends change over time, I always have some good friends, and I've had some steady ones lately that have been there for me, so that's my support system.
No, for sure, right? You always need that support system to get you further. Tell me a little bit about the Georgia scene. What it's like growing up in Georgia and the whole music scene down there?
Well, of course, Atlanta is like a huge thing for music right now. But what a lot of people don't realize is not every rapper is from like Atlanta. The suburbs of Atlanta also have a lot of good music going around. Like Migos are actually from Gwinnett. They're not technically from Atlanta. And I just think a lot of people need to realize that. But where I live, the music scene isn't really going on that much because it's more of like a conservative town. But we do have a lot of places that do, like, open mic night and karaoke and stuff, so people who are talented do get to showcase it. But we don't have many people who are, like, actually trying to do music for a career.
Interesting. Would you say, as you become someone in your town, would you say you'd be starting a pioneer trend if you get big enough and maybe can influence some of the young creators to get in the game?
Yes, I think so. I think there's a few people around here who rap. But we're kind of just a small little group, and I think more and more people that are going to see us, more and more people from our area are going to want to make their own music because it's such a country, small town. People think that when you live here, you can't really make rap music, but you can do whatever you want, in my opinion.
Right. Of course, free choice, making things happen. So when you come up with a song, you're trying to figure out your audience. What are some things you do to get your creative process going?
Well, I always have a concept in my head, like a lyric I want to use or a theme I want to use, and then I go looking for the perfect beat that goes with it perfectly, and I just start writing lyrics after that, and that's pretty much it. I just kind of think of ideas, and I have to find just the exact right beat. I'm really picky about what beats I use.
Interesting. Do you have a specific place or studio or workspace that get you the best five, and or even outside to get you the best five to make beats?
Sometimes I to get like ideas flowing, I'll go for a walk and then come back, and just while I'm on my walk, I just think of ideas and stuff I could do for my music, ways to promote it, ways to write new lyrics, and then I'll come back, sit down. I do have a little like desk area with where I keep all my notebooks for lyrics and my little setup, and I just basically after I'm done, I just write everything I've come up with.
Cool. Well, that's what you got to do, right? Sometimes those nature walks, and of course, taking that organizational skill to get you to the next level. Tell me a little bit about the promotion side when you do come up with a song. I know you're going to be releasing a new EP soon. Tell me a little bit about that and how you promote your stuff on, of course, Instagram and other platforms.
For Instagram, I have quite a few accounts, honestly, and I take advantage of that. I put it on every single account. I post snippets and I post big things are coming and just tell people to be on the lookout. And then on Snapchat, I always promote my stuff as well.
Well, that's pretty cool. What's the engagement like on Snapchat and the music scene out there? That's kind of an interesting thing. We haven't really seen many artists take the Snapchat approach.
Yeah, it's my personal Snapchat, so I don't have like a Young Murmur Snapchat, but I do have a lot of people on there. So I usually just post the link to SoundCloud or Instagram and say to go look there because I don't really do snippets on SoundCloud, I mean Snapchat, but I do have a private story on Snapchat for people who are super interested in my music and I keep them updated with what's going on all the time, just so I have like a little fan club type thing for them.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, well, almost like a Patreon in a sense, where you have exclusive deals, exclusive behind the scenes videos and whatnot for sure. So would you say now Spotify, are you into Spotify? Are you trying to get into Spotify next year? What's your take on Spotify, how you use it, if you use it at all?
I am currently working on an EP, and once that is finished, I'm going to sign up for the DistroKid music distribution, and I'm going to be on everything, hopefully.
No, that's good. That's good, right? I think I see everyone doing the Spotify streams and the Spotify, what do you call it? Rap, the Spotify rap on the premium, what you listen to and what makes things happen. Do you have any artists that you are looking up to now that, you know, I know you mentioned Migos in your area, but anybody else other than him that you look up to as an inspiration?
Yes, I definitely look up to Tyler, the Creator, and the reason why is because he's not just a rapper. He also has his own clothing line. He's done multiple TV shows, and that's really what I want to do with my music is I don't want to be just a musician. I definitely want to make my own cover art, so I want to be kind of known as an artist as well. And I just always want to be, and I'm also a martial artist, and so I want people to, know that about me as well. So.
Interesting. Would you say discipline in the martial arts you can apply to music because discipline in music is more patience in the work, and same thing with martial art where it's just discipline in the execution? Would you say you can apply both in both
Yes,
sides?
definitely. A lot of it is patience too, and just practice over time because in martial arts you have to like practice or you won't get better, and you have to have patience too because you're not going to get better immediately. And that's how it is with music too. You have to practice and you have to just be patient and know that if you work hard, eventually you'll get better. And it's kind of the same thing.
Absolutely right. I think patience goes a long way, no matter how old or how young you are, right? It'll take you far as long as you stay the course and stay in the game. So you filled out a form, and we were talking about this a little bit. Really filled this out. So the lack of resources you said that are kind of hurting your appearance, but you find ways to get through that. Tell me some of those ways you get through it, and what you could say to anybody else who might be suffering the same fate of resources and lack of motivation at the time.
Well, to me, you just have to know the right people. Like, I don't have a really good setup. I have one of those phone microphones, and I literally make music off my phone. But I know somebody, I have a friend who lets me pay him $10 a song to mix it, and he does an amazing job. And some people will charge you $50, $100 per song. But if you can find, like, a friend who mixes music or just a person who's humble about it and they're not going to ask for promotion, they're not going to ask for a ton of money. And that's how this guy is for me. He's a really good guy with working with me. And you just have to really know the right people and know how to work around your issues and what you don't have and find ways to mix the music as best you can and then find somebody to finalize it for you.
Now you made a great point, right? The music game is definitely a business. It's a networking game. It's a long-term grind. Would you say you're grateful for your connections? And is there any tips you would give to any first-time artists trying to network in the music game?
Yes, I would say definitely promote big time, because if you don't promote, then nobody's going to know who you are. And also, I would say don't be shy with it, because when I first started, I was kind of scared to share my voice, and I turned my vocals too low on my songs just because I wanted the beat to be the main point, and that's not the point of making music. So I'd say don't be shy, don't be afraid to post covers, don't be afraid to turn your vocals up, because you gotta let them know you're who you are.
100% right. I think it's the power of getting yourself out there, the power of the name, the power of the brand. Without it, you won't have any, like you said, fans, and you won't have any connections deep down the road. So everyone knows music is, like I said, patience and a grind and resources lack. But is there any special thing that you do? Let's say you're not doing music and you just look for personal growth each day. Is there anything you read, or is there anything you do as a hobby wife to get away from the grind?
Yes, I do have a lot of hobbies. I think going back to what I said about I'm in martial arts,
Right.
and the type of martial arts I take, we have a breathing exercise, and that is a really good, it's a few of them, and it's a really good process to go through every day, because it just gives you time to clear your mind, and it's great to do before you write some music. And I really rely heavy on those breathing techniques every day to help me with anxiety, help me to calm down, help me to get my creative process flowing. And so I owe a lot to that.
That's good. No, it's good that you have that mental state and that mindset when things get down, that you can get rise up through a breathing technique. Is there anything that with the breathing technique that you do that you apply to to everything in life, or do you feel it's just music that works best, or is it kind of a mixed bag?
Well, it kind of works with everything. Like, if you're nervous about something, and if you just take a few minutes to do the breathing techniques, you'll calm down. And but I do say it probably does work best with music when it comes to what it works best with. And yeah, that's basically it.
No, it's good. It's good that you have that and you can get that going for not only, music, but just everything, and find the balance in life. So back to the former field. Tell me a little bit about when you say people you believe should find their passion more. Tell me a little bit about that and how it took you a while to get to your passion.
Yes, I went through a lot of things before I came to music. The only thing I kind of did that was musical was I was in chorus for my church at one point, but I didn't really practice. I didn't put much effort into it, and I ended up quitting. And that's kind of what I did with everything. The only thing I put much effort into was band, which I did enjoy that. But once I got to high school, it's just the whole marching band scene wasn't really for me. But I still wanted to do something with music, so I decided to make some of my own, and really my two things is music and martial arts. And unfortunately, I moved, so I'm not currently in martial arts, but my music is something I can take with me anywhere, and I really appreciate that.
That's pretty cool that you still have those roots to connect. Tell me a little bit about, actually, that's a good point. Tell me a little bit about the moving process and how you adjusted from one scene to the next scene.
It wasn't really much of an adjustment, honestly. Like moving around, because the music scene up here is kind of the same no matter where you go. I would say where I'm at now in Hall County, Georgia, there's definitely more open-minded people, therefore more musicians. And there is definitely more places for musicians to play and more music shops, and just more people care about music a lot more down here than they did where I was at. So that's really interesting to me.
Would you say those open-minded people and those people who are more, let's say, wide perspective in the music game is giving you new light and new opportunity as well, the things you never thought of?
Yes, I'd say so. And it's great to get to meet different musicians around here too, and just see their perspective on the whole music game. What, how do they write songs? Because I have a lot of friends who make music, and I ask them all the time, what do you think about this? What do you think about writing lyrics this way? How do you find beats? Just random questions, and I see how they do it, and then I incorporate it into my music.
Interesting. Now, would you say your friends are more of an accountability support group? Like, let's say you put something out there, they got your back and they would give you constructive criticism, or do you feel it can be both constructive criticism and open collaborations at the same time?
Yes, I have one friend in particular that makes music under the name Ween Kiddo, and he definitely gives me constructive criticism on my music, because he's a very talented musician himself. And I trust his opinions a lot because he's been doing this a lot longer than I have, so I really appreciate him.
Right, getting those veteran connections always are is always good because you can always improve and find new tricks. So when you started to now, what's the biggest lesson you probably learned in the process, not just creating lyrics, but any type of process, whether it be creating, post promoting, or just even network? What's the biggest lesson you learned from when you started to now?
I think the biggest lesson I've learned is you gotta not care what people think, because people are gonna be mean to you because you make music, and people are gonna hate on your music. But if you let it get to you and you just quit, then you're never gonna get anywhere. And it took me a while to ignore the hate when I first started because I wasn't very good when I first started. But I knew deep down inside if I kept practicing and I kept working towards it, then I would get better. And that's exactly what I had to do. And to anyone who's listening that's starting music, you can't let people get to you. Like, you have to rise above them, and you have to just keep working for it.
Any experience in particular where you felt like it was, the hate got to you and then you rose up that you can vividly remember?
Not really. I remember one time I posted a cover, and a lot of people were commenting that it sounded rushed, and one person even said that it was garbage. And it really was rushed, and I didn't take my time with it. And at first, it got to me. And then I took a step back, and I was like, I didn't really try for this. I didn't work hard on this. And honestly, I'm not saying I deserve the hate, but I didn't deserve clout off of it either because it wasn't worth that. It was just a rushed cover. And I knew that I had to like work hard on covers and work hard on songs if I wanted people to actually appreciate them.
Yeah, that's a good point. Sometimes you use that so much hate, more of the negativity is a better word. There's more of that negativity, you use that as positivity to turn it around. And it gave you a chance to reflect. How much would you say, or, you don't have to give me a percentage, but how much would you say on a day that you think about reflecting on stuff you did? Let's say you one day you have like a lyric day, another day you start recording. Is there anything in that process where you reflect on it to get better, or do you feel like the reflection process? It's just only post promotion.
I think the reflection process is kind of like I have to be inspired by something to start like reflecting on my music. Like when I get like really good comments on my music, it makes me feel better about it, and it makes me want to go make more music too. Every time I get like love off my comments and off the few people that do listen, and so that's really what inspires me to make it.
That's it, right? That, like I said, that positivity can always it can always elaborate and evolve the game. So your audience, you mentioned, what is your audience range from? Do you have like a specific target group audience you try to do when you create music, or do you feel it's a wide ranging spectrum other than your friends?
Well, right now it's mostly my friends and people from school, but I would like my audience to be people around my age, and I turn 18 on Monday, so that's how old I am. And I want people around my age to listen so they know that they're not alone if they feel sad or they have somebody their age that is into hype stuff, and just so that they can relate to all the different moods of my music, basically, is what I'm trying to do.
No, that's right. You mentioned at the top of the show the mood aspect and really feeling it. So what is one particular mood do you feel like your songs convey, or when your new EP drops, what's the one mood or one vibe that you're going to expect when that comes out?
I think the biggest mood of my songs is probably like love songs, because a lot of my songs are about certain people, and it's you can kind of tell with a lot of them, and even my friends can figure out who some of my songs are about sometimes. And that's just a big thing for me, is writing songs like dedicated to people. So I guess you could say they're kind of like in honor of or in love of certain people.
Oh, yeah, a little tribute song. That's interesting. Would you say that this tribute love song has just come from a little bit of your personal life? You had some of those things show out in your song, would you say, as trauma, a good kind of trauma?
Yeah, you can definitely tell my songs like from my personal life. Like, I don't have anything on SoundCloud right now because I'm waiting to make my EP. But when I did have some things on SoundCloud, I had one song for somebody, and then I had another song that was supposed to be a depressing track, actually. But one day I found it in beat, and I turned it around to be a like hype track, and I thought that was really interesting that I could even do that because that song meant so much to me when it was a sadder track. But I took the same concept and turned it into like a hype thing, and that's really my best song that's made right now.
Interesting that adaptability. What would you say the music game, especially for What's your genre? Is there any specific genre that you want to convey in this new EP, like to categorize it?
I would say it's kind of pop rap, but also one of the songs is kind of bedroom pop.
Okay.
So that's what I would say for that.
Okay, so that's a good point. Would you say the pop game is also changing? Right, I do notice that we've interviewed people and we've seen like there's K-pop, there's chill track. There's like all these different types of pops coming in. Do you feel you have to be more adaptable to the game now because of the fact that we have millions of genres, or do you still feel you can find that niche market and run with it?
I almost don't want to have a genre. I just think you should just make whatever you want, and then people are going to label it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my EP will probably be labeled as rap/bedroom pop, but honestly, I'm not going to label it that. I'm going to leave it up to the listeners to do that, because I'm not really worried about, like, oh, I want to sound like rap. I just want to sound like whatever sounds good to me.
I like that. I like that approach, right? I think it's going against the grain of, you know, as we talked about, the opinions, right? Go against those opinions, make whatever you want, and let the rest be, and use that as fuel. So Gen Z, right, because that's the audience we're looking at here. What would you say is the biggest thing or biggest motivation for this Generation Z coming up? Not just in the music game, but in life in general, you feel that can bring to the table for, let's say, somebody who's a millennial when you interact with you.
You said the biggest motivation?
Yeah, biggest motivation for Gen Z, music or non-music, doesn't matter, when they interact with somebody a little older or even somebody a little bit younger to bring to the table.
I think the biggest motivation for our generation really is the music, because we have so much different types of music these days, and everybody can find themselves in something. Like, I rarely know any kids who don't listen to music. Now, like, my parents' generation, they have a lot of friends who don't listen to music. I have a relative who doesn't really listen to music, but when it comes to people my age, everybody's listening to it and everybody's motivated by it. So I feel like music really is the biggest motivator these days.
No, that's a good point, right? I think sometimes whatever the vibe is or whatever the sound you're conveying, it gets you going. It gets you just fired up to not only create but to make things happen. It could be music, or it could be entrepreneurship, or it can be anything. So mental health obviously is big with music. What are some things that you would say from personal experiences that you could say you have to deal with in the mental health aspect of just not creating music but personal life that can get in the way?
Well, I definitely deal with anxiety pretty badly, but I have a lot of ways to cope with it. Sometimes if I'm anxious and nobody's around, I'll literally just start rapping, which sounds dumb. But when I'm focusing on music and I know I'm practicing and doing something good, that helps me. And then going back to what I said earlier, the breathing techniques, that helps me. And I've been in therapy before, and just getting to vent to somebody is nice. And I also have a lot of friends and family to talk to if I need them. So I do deal with anxiety, but I have a lot of support in coping with it. So it's not that big of a deal anymore now that I'm learning to deal with it better.
Do you feel with your coping mechanisms and all this you're conveying in a good way, do you feel as you get older it's going to become less and less anxiety because of the fact that you're learning at a young age rather than when you try to get older and you have more stress?
Yeah, I think my anxiety is only going to get less from here, because I'm just learning how to cope with it better and better. And I think I will have more stress as I get older and, you know, pay more bills and all the stuff that comes with getting older. But since I'm learning how to cope with it now, I think it really will help me once I get to, like, my actual adult life.
There you go. That's it. Just, like I said, step by step. And you seem to have that good head on your shoulders from where you came from to now. Going back to, once again, the form, you talked about when the stars align, just growing in the music game and making things happen, and of course giving back to your community. What is one thing from that statement do you feel is going to happen in the next couple of years? Do you feel you're going to grow in the community more, or do you feel like your music is going to be an endless process and the craft will get better as you continue?
Well, I feel like I am going to continue to work on my music for a while, but I also do want to give back to my community. I do work and I don't make much money in my work, but I would love to eventually, like, have my own. I don't know if you know who XXXTentacion is, but he has, like, his own charity, I believe. And
Oh, yeah.
I would love to do something like that, like have my own, like, donate to the animal shelter or do, like, my own little thing that just for the local listeners that we could all get together and do, and it be sponsored by me. And I would love to do that type of stuff.
like an event meetup is kind of what I'm here, like a some type of event or
An
meetup with the
event,
art.
but an event that gives back to the community, like an event where we help feed the homeless or give to the animals, or just something that would like make me and my fan base look good, but also be helping the community, make the community look good and the local musicians look good.
Gotcha, a little charity event. Yeah, no, those are good, right? I think you see that a lot, as you said, with XX, and then of course you just see it on TV with the local communities giving back to food banks and whatnot. I think and it has one star. It has the one star, but it has the people behind it to crowdfund it in a sense. Everyone has a mission statement. You talked about just bringing the music that you write to feel emotions, and you want to even connect with people on deeper stuff on a personal level, a personal level. Would you feel that's still the same statement heading into the next year and heading into the 5 years down the road as it is today? Just that statement?
Yes, I would say so. I definitely want my music just to impact people and make them feel things, really. I don't want to be something that somebody just puts on as background noise. I want my music to be something someone puts on and really listens to.
By making those long connections. When you say background noise, do you feel there is a lot of background noise from other artists that just try to get stuff out there for the clout or just rushing things that you've seen?
Well, when I say like background noise music, I mean stuff you just like put on and it doesn't have any meaning to it. Like I love Playboi Carti, but I don't think his lyrics really have that much meaning to them. So it's great to just listen to on an everyday basis, but nobody's going to really sit down and interpret Carti lyrics. I want to be someone that somebody sits down and really thinks about the lyrics.
Right. Have a little critical thinking and have a little message behind each word. That's good. So you've like I say, you're almost 18 now. What are some things you've learned in your teenage years from 13 out of almost 18 that you feel like you can grow no matter what in music or just in life or some of those adulthood before you transfer into adulthood?
Some things I've learned is definitely don't be afraid to be yourself, because honestly, they're going to judge you either way, I've learned. And definitely work, like I was saying earlier, definitely you got to find your thing. And I know I said that in the post that y'all made too. Everybody needs to find their thing and their passion, because if you don't, that's the one way to end up on the wrong path, is like just being bored and having nothing to do in life often does lead people down to the wrong path. But if you have something that you're focused on that you really want to do, then I feel like that's going to help people be motivated to do the right thing.
Right, always doing the right thing and always, making big things happen. Tell me a little bit. I know you also mentioned your grandma was big in your support. Tell me a little about your grandma and how you developed some of her work ethic to you.
I developed work ethic really from all of my family. I don't have anybody in my family I consider lazy. Like my whole family is hardworking people. And I think work ethic is just one of my best traits. Like I do have a real job and I don't mind working on my day off. That's supposed to be my day off. Getting called in, that doesn't bother me. And working extra hours doesn't bother me. Like I love to work. That's just my personality. To me, there is no such thing as like bad jobs or hard work, because I'm really willing to do anything.
Right. That mindset to get down dirty in a good way, right? I think a lot of people don't have that grind, that ethic to keep going. Is there anything that you would say when you do, of course, get it, let's say you become a full-time musician, would you say not only that same mindset continue, but would you double down the work to help other artists as well to get something going with them?
Yes, I'd love to help other artists if I make it. I know a lot of artists get like DMs all day about will you promote me and stuff, and I wouldn't promote everybody who DMs me, but I would really listen to see who has potential, and the people who have good potential, I would love to help them out. The people I see as interesting, and that would be a good impact on the community as well, because I don't really want to help somebody if they're doing wrong things and not being a positive person. Even if their music's good, I want somebody who's a good person and a good musician.
Would you say social media has helped that too, right? Because of the fact that if we see something fake in, say, society, it's called out. Do you feel with social media, especially in the music game, if you're putting out fake content, you're making a wrong decision, it becomes more of a shame on you rather than something that could be positive?
Yeah, I think social media, they say like, it's not real life, but if you're being negative on social media, that really is a reflection of who you are. Versus if you're being positive, it really does make you look better. And that's why I try to always stay positive on my music account. I don't start drama with other musicians. I don't hate on anybody. And I just try to be nice to everybody. And I really do. Everyone who puts me on their story, everyone who, like, I'm doing a giveaway right now, and everyone who's entering, I message them and thank them all, because I really do appreciate everybody who helps me grow.
Right, yeah, I was just going to say the value of events and giveaways. We can actually talk about that. So what inspired you to do this giveaway, and what do you believe is the value as we move into the next decade and next year of giveaways and your experience you've seen so far with it?
Well, I've seen a lot of small businesses do giveaways, and I know I'm not technically a business. I mean, people say that music is a business, which to me it is, but I'm not like an entrepreneur. But I think giveaways are a good way to get clout, but also it just makes you feel good about yourself that you can give back to one of your fans. And I wish I could do like a 3-people winner giveaway, but I really just couldn't do it this year. But I would love to eventually be able to give back to more and more of my fans. And I think it's a good way to get clout. So in a way, it's kind of selfish, but at the same time, you're giving to one of your fans. So it's not completely selfish, but.
No, absolutely. It's understand that you have to, you know, take a little ego off the table, right? Because you also, at the end of the day, you got to protect yourself first to help others, right? That's what they always say. And if you do that and you can still make those deep-rooted connections, like you said, with those fans, they'll always remember that. And that's actually a good follow-up question. Do you feel like with your fans, you know, DMing or you know, commenting on these posts, commenting on these giveaways, do you feel like that word can spread faster when they share more stuff and they start hearing about more of this giveaway? Do you feel like it's just going to help your base more?
Yes, definitely. I had somebody the other day who has a lot of Instagram clout put me on their story, and I've had a lot of new followers since then. I just noticed the more people tag their friends and share it and send it, the more people listen. And I don't know how many people do this, but I'm one of the people that looks at the insights on Instagram, and I always look at them really hard to see really how many people are saving it, how many people are sharing it, how many people looked at it. I mean, I'm really interested in knowing my statistics.
All right, the analytical approach, right. Would you say understand those analytics helps you diversify content too?
Yes, I'd say so. Like, I know what people want when I get to look at the statistics. I know, like, what people are liking, what people are not liking. And it seems like covers did way better than original songs did. But a musician friend has told me not to be doing covers because it's honestly a waste of time when you're working on somebody else's music for yourself, when you could be working on your own music for yourself. And once he put it into that perspective for me, I definitely noticed that I'm putting way too much time into covers when I could be putting it into myself. So that's the reason I don't do covers anymore. But a lot of people did like those.
Interesting. So, yeah, it's a little bit of that self-advice you were talking about. Would you say ever since you stopped doing the covers, really you've been going less and less, do you have more time to open yourself up to new things? Let's say you said nature walks, like you find your ideas. Do you feel like you start taking more nature walks? Do you feel like you start finding more new hobbies when finding less time that's unproductive?
Yes, I try to be as productive as I can be. And that's always been an issue with me. And it still is an issue. Like there's sometimes I'll just be scrolling down Instagram and I know deep down inside that I definitely should be working on my music. And I'm just not. And I take AP classes at my high school, and that definitely eats up a lot of my time because they give us a lot of work. And it's just a lot of stuff on my plate, but I try my best to find time to make my music. But honestly, with school and work and just all much that I do, when I finally do get time, I just don't want to do anything. But I'm trying to break that habit. I'm trying to put my time aside to actually work on my music.
Right, right. It's that the balance and fine. Would you say time management is something that you're getting better at as you continue to take these classes and as you continue to get older? Do you feel like it's going to get better and better, or do you feel it's just still going to be a work in progress no matter what?
I think I am getting better with time management. I just get this mindset, like, I just tell myself you have to do it. You have to do your homework. You have to, you know, set time aside to keep the house clean, and then once you finally get free time, you have to be working on your music. I just kind of get this like mindset of these are the things you need to do, and once you've completed your whole list of things to do, then you can go and be on Instagram or whatever. But I just kind of have a mental to-do list, and I really just tell myself over and over again that I need to do it until it gets done. So that's kind of my process.
No, that's good. That's a good process, right? Mental checklist, make sure you get it done, get the task done, and have the free time. That's always a good way to start young and keep it going as you get older. So we're getting close to the end. So tell me a little about what the Young Murmur brand will be in a couple of years. Obviously, any end of the year goals before we round out this year.
My end of the year goal is to definitely have an EP done by the end of the year. And hopefully that's going to happen. My biggest thing is I don't know how many songs I want on it because it's kind of a tricky number. Because if you have too little, it doesn't really count. It's almost just like dropping two singles. But if you have too many, they're going to consider it an album. So for me, it's just finding that perfect balance of how long I need the songs, how many songs, and then I need. Technically, I only have one more song to be mixed and I can drop it, but I still deal with anxiety. I'm still kind of insecure about dropping it. But that is my goal, is to overcome that and have that drop by the end of the year.
That's what's up, right? You just get and getting it in, getting things done, and learning from that experience. Of course, when you drop that first EP on analytics and whatnot, and in a couple of years, any possible goals in a couple of years, the next couple of
In a
years?
couple of years, I would love to be able to make a little bit of money off of it. And I'm not expecting to make like thousands of dollars. But even if I made like $20 a month, that would mean the world to me because I know they don't pay you that much sometimes when if you're not signed to like a big company, if you're just doing music distribution like from a smaller company. I know sometimes you don't make like that much money. But even if I could make just a decent amount, I would be really satisfied with that.
There you go. I think at the end of the day, right, even if it's not about the money, it's about the grind, the process. And that's actually one question I forgot. Would you say being an independent artist allows you to have more freedom in decision making instead of getting, hold it down or hold it the hand by a bigger company?
Yes, no matter how big I get, I'm never going to sign to a big company because I watch these rappers and I see them say that they're controlled by the media and that they're controlled by their label. And I see artists who can't drop because of their label, and I don't ever want to be involved in that. I want to drop when I want to drop. I want to do what I want to do. I don't want to be told how to dress, how to present myself, and how to do this and that. I just want to do what I want to do. So even if I'm like a billion-dollar artist, I'm not signing to some big label.
Right, just do you at the end of the day and rock with the vibes and support the fans as always. And I guess this last little fun last question here. What if you could pick any song from any decade, what would you say you want to remix or would you like to just listen to one day that you never thought would be possible?
A song that I would like to remix.
Yeah, any song that you really like to remix or anything at all.
I think one song that I would love to be on is Beef by Playboi Carti, which is kind of weird, but that's been probably my favorite trap song of all time. And I would love to be able to remix that song.
Got you a little remix, maybe even collaboration. That's cool. That's good, right? Because that gets you the trap, and it gives you that new EP as always. So before we go, you want to plug your social media handle so people can find you?
Yes, my music account is on Instagram. It's at Young Murmur. And currently, I do not have a Facebook page, but we are in the process of getting that. And like I said, my Snapchat's a personal one, so I'm not going to give that out. But if people show interest, I would love to make a Young Murmur Snapchat instead of having that private story on my personal. If I could make a Snapchat for just my music in general, I would love to do that.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you so much, Young Murmur, for coming on. As always, to everybody out there listening to Promotion Day Podcast Spirits, I appreciate you guys as always as we round out the years. Have a great holiday season, Young Murmur. This has been a great episode. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yo, thank you for listening to the podcast. As always, we hope this episode was valuable. And for more awesome stories, please subscribe. If you have someone else in mind that should hear these episodes too, go ahead and share it. We dare you. Follow us on Instagram at The United Promotion. And for everything else, including show notes and more info on how to become a guest on our podcast, visit linktr.ee/theup. Have a great day.